you're feeling invincible? I know I am. It's a beautiful thing. So how are we feeling this weekend? How are we feeling on Sunday? Right? I mean, this is one of those games that I would actually like to be in the stands for. I got to tell you. Because the fact that you're going to have partial fan base that's literally rooting against the team. Think about that. So you got people sitting in the stands rooting for a fumble and interception for their team. Not that they want them to force a fumble or an interception. We're going to have fans that if they win on Sunday, if by some miracle they win, which they really should not win, they really shouldn't. The only reason we all have, some of us at least, I'm sorry, not we, all, some of us have some hope, which I'm one of them. I'm one of the guys that has that hope that if it's going to happen, you're going to have people that are going to be pissed off about it. Think about that. They're going to be walking out of the place pissed off that they won. How weird is that? You're going to have Dolphins high-fiving each other that they're happy. Like, I would be happy. Okay, on Sunday, if somehow or another they do win, I'm going to have a smile on my face. I'm going to go, wow, this is pretty amazing. Because, see, I'm going to look at it the other way. I'm going to go, man, Brian Flores and his staff, that's pretty good, dude. That's pretty good. They don't have a lot of talent on that team. And they went and beat a team that I know they're not special, but Washington has way more talent than Miami. And if the Miami offense was able to move the ball, and Washington's defense is pretty good. Go look at the names on that defense. They got some players on that defense. That's actually a decent defense. It should be a really good defense in this league, actually. If you look at the players that they have, they should be pretty good. And so Miami really has no business winning that game. So for me, I'm going to say, okay, wait a minute. This guy coached it up and schemed it up to beat a team that's better than them. That's pretty impressive. Now there's going to be that other fan. Oh, you screwed up the draft. That's it. We're not going to have the number one pick, which it's not true. They still could easily have the number one pick because there's plenty more games left. The one thing that I will say, and I've mentioned it a couple times already, if by some miracle they win on Sunday, okay, I want to hear, I want to see, I want to read all those people that said that the Dolphins are tanking. I want them to all say we were wrong. Because they're already wrong anyway, because it's really not tanking. They're resetting the franchise. They're not sitting there going, okay, how can we lose this week? No, it's not the woman that owns the baseball team in Major League. That's not what's going on here. Okay? But if they're coaching up the players and the players are improving and they actually improve to the point with less talent than anyone else in the NFL that they actually won a game, then that's definitely not tanking. And have you noticed that the ones that accuse Miami of tanking, there's this caveat that they use that comes with it, right? Well, you know, it's the front office. You know, they set up the tanking. I've seen them write that. Yeah, I think it was. I think I read one of the guys is Barry for sure. And it's like, well, you know that the, of course, the players and the coaches aren't trying to tank, but the front office set it up like tanking. Well, if they did, then they would have kept Adam Gase. They would have brought back Cam Cameron. But you brought a coaching staff that's going to try. So that's not tanking. So if the front office hired that coaching staff, then it's not tanking.
So, and if they coach him up to win, it can't be tanking. Maybe it's because the front office knew a little something about these coaches and said, you know what, they will be good coaches. And maybe they are. And I'm not saying Brian Flores is a good coach. I don't know that yet. I got to see a lot more from Brian Flores over the next 2 years to make a determination on it.
But if he wins this week, and that goes a long way in saying maybe that's the right coach. But I love the dynamic of all of this. And look, again, I don't blame some of you out there for rooting against the Dolphins. It's what you think is best for them. You're not rooting. See, that's the other thing. We got to separate church and state here, okay? Those Dolphins, and they are fans, okay, that are rooting against their team, they think they're rooting against them for what's best for them. Remember that.
It's for the better good.
Right. They're not rooting against the Dolphins because they want the Dolphins to go through misery and their fans, and they just want to see a team lose because they hate them and they didn't refund something. They whatever. I don't know. They got some kind of beef against the team. Okay? No. That's not the case. That's why I'm not one of those guys that gets all bent out of shape for those of you that are rooting against them, because I know your heart is in the right place. I understand that. You want the Dolphins to win as much as I do. You just think that if they lose every game, it's guaranteed that's the best thing for them. And you know what? You might be right. But then again, if they win one game, they still could end up with the number one pick, and it doesn't matter. So I'm not going to lose my mind over this. And listen, in the end, it's Chris Greer's job to fix the team, find the quarterback. He's got 4 billion picks. Find a way to get the quarterback, dude. That's all. So whether they win none, one or two, he still has to go out and get that quarterback. It doesn't matter. So that's what he was hired for. Let him do it. Let's find out if he and the staff can get it done and turn this thing around. But the dynamic is going to be hilarious this weekend. It really is. It's going to be awesome. Because you're just going to see two different sets of Dolphins. Does the tanker, and I mean by the fan, not the team, the fan that's a tanker, does he go to the game? Does he or she want to be at the game? I'm wondering, for those of you out there that might be season ticket holders, send me a tweet at Big O Show or a text on the accidentlawfirm.com text line at 786-322-1105. And what's your mindset as a tanker going to Dolphin games now? Because I wonder, this is what I just thought about this. Some of you out there, and you could tell me, even if you're not a tanker and you're out of games, do we have fans that are openly rooting for the tank? Like celebrating a fumble and celebrating an interception and celebrating a touchdown by the other team? And they're wearing Dolphin jerseys and shirts and hats? Is it that twisted?
Jumping up and down on a pick six.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm wondering, those of you, how
that's
fanatical.
That's a twisted thought.
But I got to ask, right? I mean, it's something that I got to ask. Because it's a dynamic that we've never seen before. Hopefully, we'll never have to deal with it again. Hopefully, we get a competent football team from here on out, and we never have to cross these roads again. You know, this is just one time I want to do this. I don't really want to do this often.
I could think of a couple times in the last 10 years. We could go back further, but last 10, that we come down to the end of the season, we're looking at 4 or 5 wins. We win one or two games, like week 15 and 16, and it's like, when you're supposed to suck. Like, you be the best at sucking. Don't go and get these two games, and now we're back
right.
at 12 and 13
right.
when we were sitting in 6, 7, 8.
Right, I got you.
You know, and that, I can actually think of a couple times when I was actually, like, pissed off about us winning. Okay? I can.
Okay.
And I'm sure there's a bunch of Dolphin fans that feel the same way. But the way these guys are trying, man, we need some happiness for them. You know what I mean? I feel for those guys.
Yeah, although that's the problem, that it'll be happiness for them, happiness for some fans like me, but it's going to be complete misery for others. I feel bad for those of you out there that are rooting against the Dolphins, and that's your favorite team. I feel, and if they happen to win, I'm going to feel bad for you that you're going to be suffering through all of that. I just
so the suffering gets compounded with suffering.
Yeah, I just can't join you. I can't do it. I've seen it firsthand how hard coaches and players work, and to want to root against them, unless it's any of the other 31 teams, then I'm good. But this team, I can never do that against the Dolphins. I just can't. And again, like I told you, you have no idea what an incredible accomplishment that win would be for the Dolphins, considering how short they are on talent. The accomplishment would be catastrophic, man. I mean, it's just one of those things that it's just enormous.
We will be talked about all over football circles.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. The teams that are on those 13 teams that are on their schedule, they have to be so motivated to not lose, because this is maybe one of the all-time worst teams of all time in football. In pro sports, in pro football, there haven't been a lot of teams that are worse than the Miami Dolphins that are right now currently put together.
I guess the first 2 years of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, okay?
It's
I think
close.
They had one win.
Yeah, one in 26, I want to say. Right?
We have been
one in 27.
We
have 14
been
games,
compared
right.
to them. You know, John McKay, the coach from USC.
Yes, USC.
One of my favorite quotes, we don't seem to be able to win a game at home. Can't seem to win a game on the road. We're asking the team next week if we could play at a neutral site.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, that team needed anything and everything, all the help they could possibly get, because that was a really, really bad team. Like, they lost their first 25 of 26 games. Like, they didn't win that one game to, like, deep in the second season when they won it.
And you would have thought they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I think Leroy Selman was on that team.
I believe you are correct.
Young Leroy
yes.
Selman was yep. on that team. Later on, he was leading the team to an NFC Championship game with Doug Williams.
Almost beat Dallas.
Yeah, yeah.
They
yeah.
almost beat Dallas yeah, that game.
That was a pretty good Bucs team back in those days. That was a fun team to watch, that Bucs team, back in those days. Brian Carroll is, I see he's commenting there on Facebook. He's ready to go. So he will be joining us in this hour, a little bit after Chris Long. Once we talk to Chris and we get the games going with him, which we're looking forward to having Chris Long on and get his picks. That'll be at the bottom of the hour. Remember, if you want to get in on the program, it's really simple. All you do is got to grab that phone. Okay, and dial 786-322-1105. Save it. That way you know it's our text line and you can reach us anytime. And remember, you can send a text anytime you're listening to the podcast. So if you're listening day, night, middle of the night, doesn't matter. Send in the text. You got a question, a concern, you want to correct me on something, whatever it is. I make 8,000 mistakes a show. So it's easy to correct me on the show.
No, it's only 7,999.
All right. Well, I was a little abusive on myself there. What can I tell you? So you got an opportunity there to contact us anytime on the program, which is a beautiful thing. So there you go. Make sure you stay in contact with us. Let's see. What else do we have going on this whole thing with the... Oh, and they might get Albert Wilson back this week. I have not checked here on Twitter today if there's any news Dolphins-wise, if they've said that Albert Wilson definitely will play or not. I'm not exactly sure, but I know that he's really close to returning, so you could get him back this week. I'll check it out for you and see if I see any kind of news here on Albert Wilson and possibly playing for the Dolphins this week. I'll see what the coach said on there. Do we have the coach? Can we? I don't know. Do we have anything on the coach? Did he say anything?
What, yesterday?
No, today.
Today.
Yeah.
I have to be honest with you. I've been doing other stuff.
Okay. All right. I'm looking here myself on Twitter to see if I see any notes from the coach. So we'll see.
Cameron. We got the first hour and the first segment up.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cameron Wake and Sharif Finch have both been ruled out for Sunday's game against the Titans. Barry Jackson tweets out that projected compensatory fifth rounder for Miami now in serious danger of becoming a sixth. So there you go. Mike Pouncey had neck surgery today. That's bad news for the Chargers. Does that trade now become a good trade for Miami, or not trade, but getting rid of Mike Pouncey? Does that become a good move because he played only one good season for the Chargers and then broke back down again? I'm just wondering, how do we measure that whole thing with Pouncey? Because they would have sucked last year with or without Pouncey. So Omar Kelly tweets out that Kalen Ballage is questionable with a foot injury that has just flared up. So that means Mr. Walton.
I was going to just say.
Yep, exactly. So there you go. So you've got a couple of news and notes there from the Miami Dolphins. Xavier McDaniel is also dealing with a little bit of a knee issue, apparently. So there you go. We got that going on. His status is questionable for Washington because of knee soreness. Flores was non-committal about whether Howard will play. He says, we'll see. He's been limited all week. He wants to play. Hopefully, we'll have him out there. The Dolphins listed Howard as questionable. A decision will be made this weekend. He says, right now, I'm at zero interceptions. I feel I've got to improve, get better, got to make plays, got to do my job. I set the bar high. I still want to perform at a high level. So we'll find out. This is from Barry Jackson, an article there. There are 10 players also questionable for the game, including Jesse Davis, Kalen Ballage, Rashad Jones, Bobby McCain, Jakeem Grant, Albert Wilson, Chris Lamons, Jamal Wiltz, Jason Batamosi, and linebacker Trent Harris. So there you go. Now, the Dolphins have been cautiously optimistic about McCain, Davis, and Jones being able to play, but less so about Grant. All right? So if not, then Kenyon Drake will handle the kickoff returns, is what he writes.
This thinking we're going to win, besides the fact the way Washington's looked, the situation at their quarterback position, and the fact that they have a new coach.
Mm-hmm.
That those two things kind of like push it, like, yeah, this is very realistic, a possible win.
They got a shot. They got a shot. They got a shot to win. I'm going to say they're not going to win, actually, when it's all said and done. But they do have a shot. I'm not going to sit here and be shocked.
You know
if they win,
happen?
But if Callahan, you know, one of the things that Andy Behrens talked about that I think makes a lot of sense. If Callahan's going to dedicate himself to the run, which he should, since he doesn't have a great quarterback, and he's not facing a great team against the run. So if you can pound the crap out of them with Adrian Peterson and then do a little play action off of that, that might be enough to eke out a victory for Washington. And remember what I told you. Miami is the worst team in the league. There's no question about that talent-wise. I know record-wise they're tied with a couple of other teams for the worst in the league. So everybody else is like, you know, some people are viewing those other teams as bad as Miami. They're not. Miami is worse than the Jets. They have less talent than the Jets, less talent than Washington. Trust me, they're bad. All those teams know that Miami is historically bad. They will be motivated at least not to lose a game to Miami. And I don't have to tell any of you this. As the record builds up, and I'm talking about the 0-4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. As that number grows, the desperation from teams to make sure they don't lose to that team also grows. Because once you start getting into 0-10 and 0-12, and it's so realistic that you're going to go 0-16, that those teams on the second half of that season, week 9 and 10 and 14 and 6, man, those teams are motivated as hell because they don't want to lose to you. So it's a real possibility that Miami can still go 0-16. Even though a lot of us feel that they've got a shot this week. And I'm one of them. I give them a shot. I don't think that they'll end up winning because I think Washington, the coaching change, all of that, they'll be motivated enough to at least beat Miami. That's all. I don't think that they'll show up with a great game and rout Miami and all that. I think actually Miami will make it, you know, competitive to a certain extent. But beat them, I just don't see Miami winning this one. I don't. As much as I would love it, and I'll have a big old smile on my face, and I will not be complaining, ladies and gentlemen. That's not what I'm going to do. No way. I'm not going to complain. I'm gonna root for the guys. And that a win for them would be absolutely enormous. It would make them feel like what they're doing is also productive. I think that's really, really important for them. So I would have to tell you that a win does a lot of good for the Miami Dolphins. Okay? You can do a lot of good for your home by calling EJD Construction. Eric and John have been at this for a long, long time, folks. Their communication with the owners and the architects are second to none. If you're looking for custom home construction and major home remodeling, you got to call one place, man. And support the great sponsors that support us. EJD Construction. Save it on the cell phone. 305-318-4978. Affordability without compromising quality, folks. Not a handyman, okay? Call them for major projects. Reliability and accountability, it's all there. Shell Construction, that's how they keep the cost low. Please call them. 305-318-4978 for EJD Construction. When we come back right here after the break, we're going to talk to Chris Long, handicapper. He's going to make his picks, baby. We'll get a quick break in here. We'll get Chris Long going. After Chris Long, we're going to talk to Brian Carroll. He is the man in charge of the Las Vegas Miami Dolphin Fan Club. I'm sure he's going to be out there with us on the broadcast at Tommy Rocker's. So we'll talk to him. We'll have a little fun. Every Friday, man, we're going around the country around the world. We're going to have some Dolphin fan clubs in England chiming in Mexico. So we're going to have...
NorCal said Germany.
Germany.
And there's four or five. Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, this is an international party.
Yes, an international party. So we're going to have some fun with that. So Brian Carroll will join us right after Chris Long. Give us a couple minutes here. We'll get a quick break in, and we'll come back with Chris Long, baby. You win with sports.net. Chris, how you doing, my brother?
I'm doing awesome. How about yourself, Big O?
I can't complain. I'm at Hialeah Park enjoying some great food, a little gaming action, doing a nice little show here for 3 hours. Life is good, my man. Life is good. And then I'm headed for a concert tonight, so it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and when I grow up, I want to be just.
You do? You want to grow up like me, huh? Wait a minute. Okay.
Exactly.
Yes, I like it. I like it. All right, let's do that. First of all, what'd you think of last night, dude? Are the wheels starting to come off Tom Brady, because he had Ryan Tannehill-like accuracy last night? Ball placement was terrible, and he really hasn't been Tom Brady, actually, what we're used to this year. It's impressive. The Patriots are dominating, but without Tom Brady being Tom Brady.
It's amazing. You remember, I mean, the Patriots never had a terrible defense or a bad defense. They've always had Bill Belichick. But how many times did Brady at least bail those guys out and you leaned on Brady to win the game? It's like he could be Alex Smith. He could be a game manager, and they're not going to have a problem. That defense is amazing. Tom Brady has looked terrible this year, and they don't miss a beat. They're 6-0.
Yeah, well, maybe he's going to be the next Peyton Manning. Really crappy and win a Super Bowl. Huh?
Yeah, I mean, what a turn of events that would be.
Yeah.
You have your worst year ever and you win the Super Bowl like Peyton did.
Yeah.
That year when he was, you know, just absolutely terrible, but they had a dominating defense.
Yeah, he's the worst quarterback ever to win a Super Bowl, which is crazy to say that about Peyton Manning. But that year he became the worst quarterback to ever, you know, lift a Super Bowl trophy, which is absolutely nutty. Let me ask you, on the flip side, the youngin came down to reality because the injuries, missing Saquon, missing one of his receivers, a kid like that against a team like that and that experienced, he needed all the help he could possibly get, and unfortunately, Daniel Jones did not have it last night.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I have the same take that you have. I mean, they were missing their top two running backs. They were missing Shepard and Ingram, their top two pass catchers. They did add Golden Tate, but and this is a rookie playing against the best defense in the league this year. It might be one of the best defenses in a while right now. I mean, they're not the Ravens that won the Super Bowl, but they're pretty damn good. He did not look overmatched. He did not look like a fish out of water. Yeah, they didn't move the ball, but the Patriots didn't give up a touchdown to Jared Goff in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, what does that tell you? Is it really a knock against Daniel Jones there?
No. I just a kid like that last night against that team, that's all I mean, is he really needed all the help. Listen, if Daniel Jones goes out there and balls last night, then you know he's the real deal. Like, you know already he's franchise material. That we don't even know yet, okay? And he listen, he had some issues with accuracy himself yesterday, okay? So it wasn't, you know, it was something that you got to look at. But I kind of felt bad for him yesterday because a young quarterback against that coach and that defense, my brother, you need every weapon possible just to survive that game.
Look, before we go on, I'm going to ask you a simple question, and we haven't spoken about this before, but I really want to hear your take.
Yes.
If I flip-flopped, if I put Daniel Jones on the Patriots last night and Tom Brady on the Giants, is that score any different?
Not the way Brady was playing last night. No, nah. Not at all, because he doesn't have athleticism, so that line back there isn't that good. Daniel can actually move around a little better than him.
Uh-huh.
So you're right. Tom Brady does not lift the Giants to a victory last night. He gets his ass kicked, too, last night. No, you're right.
I'm glad we agree. We hadn't even spoken about that, but we are dead on in agreement there.
Yeah, no, you are 1,000% right on that one. All right. Remember, go to the website. It's winwithsports.net. The phone number is 866-258-7060. All right, first of all, let's start off with the Saturday games. How about Cincinnati? They're coming off a nice win, -7 in Houston. What do you think about that game?
All right, this is, you know, and sometimes you bet on a team, and sometimes you bet against a team, sometimes you bet a spot. This is purely a bet against Houston. I mean, we know famously midseason, Derek King, and the wide receiver's name is escaping me, but their best wide receiver and their all-world quarterback decide to sit it out and enter the transfer portal. And everybody, I mean, that line moved 7 points when that information came out, and Houston had probably their best game of the year. Now, that happens a lot where you're missing a player or missing two players and everybody rises up. But Big O, you can't do that back-to-back weeks. You can't do that for a season. I expect them to crash back to earth, and this is wholly a bet against Houston. We're going to lay the 7 with Cincinnati against Houston. We expect a big, big, big effort here out of the Bearcats. Again, I don't have much to say about the Bearcats. It's more about betting against the situation, betting against Houston missing their two best players and crashing back to earth and not rallying around like they did 2 weeks ago.
Good stuff there. All right, so he's going with Cincinnati -7 at Houston. All right, FSU and Clemson. There's no way you're picking FSU. What do you like in this matchup?
Well, the funny thing is Briles, the offensive coordinator for Florida State, I saw a stat when I was coming in. I mean, we had this game anyway, but I saw a stat that in his last 52 games, he's been held under 17 points once. One time in his last 52 games. So we don't think Florida State's going to win. We don't even think they're going to keep it close, but we do think they can put points on the board. I don't see them getting held under 17 points like they never do with Briles. I mean, it just doesn't happen. We're going to see some points. Maybe this offense could hit their stride. They do play an up-tempo. You know that. They've been terrible. Their coach is terrible. But this situation, Clemson, again, they lost a ton of players off that defense. They are not what they were last year. Obviously, they just reload in Clemson. But you don't reload NFL first rounders. You don't third pick overall. That's not reloading. You don't do that. The only team I remember that could do that was the U back in the day. But we think Florida State will move the ball in Clemson. Do I have to say anything about Clemson? Those wide receivers are uncoverable. Lawrence, who's not even having a good year, they will put up some numbers. Over the 59, expect about 70 points in this game.
Wow. All right. So FSU and Clemson. My man Chris Long is going with the over. All right. Tonight, I was wondering if you were going to approach this game. Yes. The Miami Hurricanes are hosting Virginia. Last week, I was scratching my head why they were favored by 14. I'm still scratching my head right now why they favored by 2. So you tell me, how are you approaching this game tonight?
So the funny thing is we were scratching our head last week with the 14 points. We took Virginia Tech plus 14. We did not give it out on the radio, but it was a head scratcher. Like you said, you're very close to that program. You know what's going on. But there was money against them. Virginia Tech took a lot of money. Here's what I want to say about this game. Miami, Florida, nobody, and I talked to a lot of people, nobody expected them to open up the favorite. Nobody. They all had Virginia as the favorite. When they opened up Pick'em, okay, they got money bet up to -1. They got bet up to -2. Everyone in the world likes Virginia, okay? And it's still getting bet up. What does that tell you? That somebody that knows a hell of a lot more than all the listeners out there has got their hard-earned money on Miami. We're one of those people. I'm not afraid to lay 2 when they lay Pick'em 1 because, you know, the games can't end in a tie, and 1 is not very live, and neither is 2. We think the Canes, this will be all out. This will be a make-or-break game. I could see that if they don't win this game, they could just spiral, and maybe Manny Diaz loses the team. I don't know if it's too early for that, but it could spiral into, you know, there's a lot of front-running down here in Miami. They could quit on the coach. They can quit on the team. This will be their Super Bowl. We got a rare night game, a Friday night game. I don't even know if I remember last time. They played Thursday night games. I don't remember last time they played a Friday night game. It's going to be rabid over there. There'll be fans. They're going to give a max effort. I mean, if they're not as good as Virginia, there's nothing I can do about that. But this is a spot where they will come with it 100%.
All right. Interesting. All right. So he's going with the Canes -2. He's got a lot of faith in Manny Diaz. You are ballsy, my man. Chris Long, winwithsports.net is the website, 866-258-7060. Let's move over to the Sunday games. Let's start off with the stinking New York Jets. They are getting Mono Boy back. What do you think?
Mono Boy. I mean, look. Is there anything, I mean, two words will, why I'm playing this game. Sam Darnold. I mean, Luke Falk, in the history of the NFL, could have been the worst quarterback. I'm talking about Dave Brown Giants bad. I'm talking about Sage Rosenfeld bad. I'm talking about Spurgeon Wynn bad. Like, really bad. I mean, this guy, you know, there's Tom Brady, there's Patrick Mahomes. you know, that and Drew Brees and Deshaun Watson is the top of the heap, and then there's the bottom of the heap. I really think the Jets were 8 points worse with Luke Falk, and I'm not kidding. And I'm not saying Sam Darnold is worth 8 points, but the drop from Darnold to Luke Falk was worth 8 points. A lot of things is, you know, what's the value of a quarterback? Well, it's just as much as his talent, it's the lack of talent of his backup. Luke Falk gone. I think the Jets will be renewed. I think the Cowboys are banged up on the offensive line. I think Dak gets exposed. We told you about that. I mean, we lost the play we had under, but we told you Dak under pressure is just not the same. And it was, what, 31-3? Mm-hmm. I should have just took my own advice and laid the Packers instead of the under. But it was 31-3 at one point against pressure. He's not the same quarterback. A banged-up offensive line, not the same quarterback. When he gets moved off the spot, we really think the Jets are, again, we talked about the Hurricane Super Bowl. This is probably the Jets Super Bowl. They're going nowhere fast. They're not in tank mode, so to speak, like other teams. They're going to try to put it together. They're going to try to win this game. This is a spot where we're taking 7.5 points. Again, it's more of a bet against Dallas and more of a strict Sam Darnold type play. We expect them to please to keep it close. I see a 3-point loss here. So when I'm taking 7.5, I got 4.5 points of value.
Okay, there you go. All right, so he's going to go with the Jets plus 7.5 against the Cowboys, who seem a little overrated, too, as the season's gone on. Atlanta is taking on the Cards. They're coming off a win, which makes Dolphin fans happy because it gets them out of the top pick race with a win and a tie now. The over and under is 51. Where are you going with this game?
Yeah, so I'm sure your listeners come back each and every week, and I think they see sometimes I have a little pattern with the games I play, and we like to bet Arizona over the total. I mean, we like Kingsbury's tempo. We like the number of plays that they rattle off. We like the fact that Kyler Murray, although a rookie and tiny, I mean, God, he looks tiny out there, he can move the team. If he gets out in open space, he can fly, man. He's tough to bring down. He's accurate, and he's got a strong arm for a little guy. We expect them to move the ball up and down the field, and even if they don't, it'll be fast. Whatever they do, it's going to be fast. And do I have to say anything about Atlanta's defense? Yeah. I mean, Atlanta's defense is atrocious. Dan Quinn, I don't know how he still has a job. Kyle Shanahan, he was the reason they went to that Super Bowl. He was the reason that they had the Patriots 28-3. Dan Quinn is he's just a caretaker right now. He's taken over the calls on defense, and they've got nothing but worse, progressively worse each year, each week. And you still have Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley and Mohamed Sanu and Devontae Freeman. I mean, they are tip. This is a game where we're going over 51. I would not be surprised if it was 41-40. I mean, obviously you're not going to get 80 points in the NFL, but if that happened, I would not be shocked. This is going to be up and down. One great offense in Atlanta, one team that will play fast in Arizona, and two terrible defenses. Can you imagine? I got into this play and I didn't talk about the Arizona defense, which is just as bad as the Atlanta defense. I mean, this is a recipe for an over.
There you go. Go with the over 51, Atlanta and the Cards. All right, one more. Cincinnati plus 12 at Baltimore.
Yeah, I don't know if it was on your show, if it was on another show that I was on. Somebody was hyping up the Ravens, and I had to stop them and said, do we know the Ravens are any good? I mean, at the time, they had blown out the Dolphins. Everyone famously saw that destruction. And then they beat the Cardinals, so probably the two worst teams in the NFL. They were 2-0. They went up to the Chiefs. They had a respectable final score, but they were never really in that game. They were down 3 scores early. They fought back. They made it look respectable. They haven't beaten anybody. Cincinnati, again, this is a play against Baltimore. We don't think Baltimore, you know, when they talk about the top teams in the AFC, I don't believe Baltimore is one of them.
Okay.
They're being rated as such, but they're just not. 12 points, too much in a rivalry game. We hope maybe Zach Taylor will get on the board. They run a little bit of an up-tempo. The Baltimore defense does not scare me. If I put 2 scores on the board, 12 is an awful lot of points. It's going to be very hard to ask if Cincinnati puts up 14 for Baltimore to cover that game. So let's go and take the 12. Don't expect them to win, but expect it to stay close.
All right, there you go. The website is winwithsports.net. The phone number is 866-258-7060. That's 866-258-7060. If you want to reach out to Chris, let's go over the games once again. In college football, he's going with Cincinnati minus 7 in Houston. He's going to go with the Miami Hurricanes minus 2 against Virginia. Take the over 59 in the FSU Clemson game. Go with the Jets plus 7.5 versus Dallas. Go with the over 51 Atlanta and the Cardinals. And go with Cincinnati plus 12 against Baltimore in Baltimore. Those are the six games. But, Chris, if they want to get an edge, what else do they have to do?
They got to give me a call, 866-258-7060 or winwithsports.net. Again, we like to have fun on the show here. We do give picks that I think are going to win, but you need to pay to get the games that my clients are betting. And more importantly, Big O, the games I bet with my own money. I don't just sit here. I'm not a blowhard. It just tells you, I can show you my tickets. I bet my own hard-earned money on these plays. And 866-258-7060. And before I go anywhere, I know we're about to wrap it up. Let's flip the script a little bit. You break down the toilet bowl between the Skins and the Dolphins. You want to give me one quick minute on that?
Well, I think that they're going to control the ball. They're probably going to run it a lot with Callahan, since he's at heart a run guy with the O-line and everything. So that's their best bet. And Miami is not a good defense. Physically, they're not going to be able to hold up. I think that Washington kind of controls the game, uses a little play action, and they win a really close game with the Miami Dolphins. I think the Dolphins will try like they have every week. I think they're going to play hard. I think they'll be half decent in this game, but I don't think that they end up winning when it's all said and done, because as the season goes on, you know, the motivation picks up for teams that they don't want to lose against the 0-for team like Miami is right now.
Yeah, all right. Now, but before I, so basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw some pizza money on the under there. You seem to see a close to the vest type game called, yes, by the Skins, and you think a lot of running. I'm going to go under with some pizza money. You know, there's worse things you can do. Instead of going to a movie, watch the game and then on the under.
There you
all
go.
All right, man, be good.
You got it, baby. Be good. There Bye. You go. Chris Long, man. Winwithsports.net is the website. All right. Now we're going to talk in a minute here with Brian Carroll, Las Vegas Dolphin Club. And listen, you know, this show, we are sports intensive. We're going to talk about a lot of things. We'll talk music, like we had the singer for Adelita's Way today. Rick DeJesus was kind enough to join us today on the program. We'll talk pop culture. We'll have some fun. But, you know, we're going to be also Dolphin intensive because, hey, it's what's here in my ticker, man. You know what I mean? And so, one of the things that I want to do with this podcast, because in terrestrial radio, for years, they have kicked you guys out. They don't really take phone calls. They don't really care about the listener. It's just one of those things. I've never been that guy. I've always been the guy that's been very interactive with listeners and with fans and stuff like that. And so whether you're local or national or worldwide, you know it. If you're on social media with me, you know I'm as proactive as possible. And so I want to do things that other people don't do. And this is one of the things that nobody does, is reaching out to fans and fan clubs. And since we're Dolphin intensive on this show, we are the most Dolphin intensive radio show on the planet. I figure we connect with the Dolphins across the country and some of the great Dolphin clubs across the country.
We got Brian for you, man.
I love it. So Brian Carroll is going to be hanging out with us along with the rest of that Las Vegas Dolphin Club at Tommy Rockers, baby. Am I right, Brian? We're going to be partying over there at Tommy Rockers, right?
Oh, absolutely, man. That place is a good time, man. And it's so convenient and local for everybody. Whatever hotel you're at on the strip, man, it's really easy to get to. So
I love it.
It'll be really cool.
I love it. I love it. So we're going to do that. So make sure you go to our link on our Twitter page, Facebook page. Mark Angelo is running it, and he is putting it all together. That way you guys can get great room rates with us, because the bigger group we are, the better rate we're going to get, because we have more leverage. Because we're not just renting one room. We might be renting a couple hundred. So make sure you sign up with us. So that way we're also all in the same hotel, and then we're all hanging out in the same bar during the draft and having a great time. So I'm already targeting some concerts already, Brian. I got Foreigner out there during that week, so I'm going to go out there. Plus, I'm going to rely on you to lead us into a direction or two to have some fun. You know, we got to put together like a dolphin party too or something, right?
Oh man, we're going to have lots of parties. I don't know if y'all have ever partied with Mark NorCal, but the way he does things is just so right. Everybody's pretty much grouped together the whole weekend. Any event that he has, he does really good to keep everybody together. Does boasts on what different people like to do. Man, that dude's a great dude. He does a heck of a good time. He throws some cool parties.
All right, so tell us about the Las Vegas Dolphin Club. How many of you are there? Where do you guys gather? I would imagine Tommy Rockers must be the place. So tell me a little bit about the Las Vegas Dolphin Club.
So, you know, Vegas is an interesting sports place. So many different, you know, people move from different cities here. So Miami's kind of, you know, not really on high on the totem pole out here on sports places. But Tommy Rockers, man, good get-together. Probably 20, 30 people minimum every time, every Sunday over there.
Wow.
He throws prizes, gives jerseys away. He does really good time to make sure that everybody's enjoying themselves and make sure that Miami Dolphins fans feel welcome in that bar.
All right. So
it's a real good time over there.
So, Brian, if Dolphins are listening now, how do they, you know, reach your page? Where is it at so people can find the Las Vegas Dolphin Club?
So on Facebook, it's Las Vegas Dolphin Fans Club. You know, pretty simple, basic. But I try to throw an event. Anybody that's a Dolphin fan, whatever they do in Vegas, I try to promote that, whether a painter, you know, any of that. I just try to keep everybody going through Dolphin fans. Maybe, you know, keep it like kind of community-wise as Dolphin fans can get together and do different things for each other.
I love it. I love it. So, Brian, tell me, how are you with this resetting? Because if you listen to this show, I don't call it the T word, bro. I think the team is resetting is what they're doing, because they're going to spend all that money in the next year or two. So that cannot be the T word. T word are for teams that aren't trying to win. The Dolphins are resetting to win. So I'm wondering, how are you with this whole reset? Are you rooting for them to lose? How do you handle all of this?
Absolutely not. Man, I will never root for them to lose. I figure right now we got a lot of young players, so if they can squeeze out a win here and there, that's awesome. That means that they're trying hard. We can see their skill set. I think this week is really, really big for us to see, you know, on the right scale where our offensive line young players, our defensive young players really are going to be, as opposed to playing New England where we get crushed, Baltimore we got crushed. So I think this is more like leveling the playing field, and we can really evaluate, you know, going from this game and moving on further.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that I love, Brian, I've watched this team get better every week, man. They did nothing the first two weeks.
I agree.
And then against Dallas, the defense showed up into the third quarter. And then the Chargers game 2 weeks ago, both sides of the ball showed up at least for a half. I'm thinking this week they go into the second half, they give it a great effort, and I think they're going to be in there. I wouldn't be shocked if they actually win this game. But I think they're going to be more competitive this week with the Washington Redskins, which, again, goes against everything that all these people are writing and reporting about the Dolphins giving up and not trying on the season, which is a bunch of crap. I just don't believe that, because I'm watching young players get better under this coaching staff. To me, that's exciting.
Absolutely. So I got the privilege to go down to Texas, and I got to watch that Dallas game. And that first half, everybody out there was giving 110%, and it showed out there. And the boys were doing good. I think that fumble really killed the momentum, man.
Yeah.
And the Kenyon Drake fumble, I think, just killed the momentum. Other than that, though, that first half, man, they were playing their hearts out, and they were looking good, man. You know, so I think there is a lot of talent here. I think, like I said, we need the time to further evaluate a little bit this season. But I agree with you. It's not tanking, you know. I think that we're just resetting and trying to figure out the right pieces. You know, it's just hard as fans to sit there and have to know that your team's not going to go to the playoffs. You know what I'm saying?
No, listen, I didn't think they were going to the playoffs much in the last 20 years anyway. So I look at it this way. This is the fastest way to get back to being really good. Because by tearing it all down, opening up all that cap space, having all those picks, now you have an opportunity to build on a whole bunch of young guys that you're going to have for cheap for the next 4 to 5 years. Then you complement those guys with some free agents, because you can, those free agent contracts will expire over the next couple of years. So by the time the young guys are good, 4 or 5 years down the line, you now have a nice little rotation going on where some of the veterans that helped you carry the way, now the young guys are ready to take over. I think they have created an opportunity for themselves to actually really build a good football team. Whereas before, all they're doing is trying to cover up every single hole and mistake that they've made the last 10 years.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. You know, being a Dolphin fan last 10 years has been tough, man. We've been watching that big spending on free agents that we think are going to come in, make an immediate impact, and it doesn't work out like that, you know, or it hadn't. As now, you know, we cut all the loose ends gone, and, you know, we're going to see what these young guys have to step up and prove to themselves that, yeah, they should be here next year and the year after.
How about this? This is what I love also, Brian. Okay, there's going to be a revolt if they trade Laremy Tunsil. No revolt. The players have quit on the team. Well, if you watch them every week, they bust their asses every single week, right? Everybody wants to get traded. Well, it was only one guy that wanted to get traded. This is what I love, the narratives that they try to sell out there, and not one of them has been accurate. Every one of them has been just absolutely off on all of this. And here's the other one. Rosen is a jerk. Rosen is selfish. Rosen hasn't earned anything. Rosen's a silver spooner. Rosen's hard to get along with. Have you seen any of that so far? Because all I see is a kid that busts his ass, a kid that plays with moxie, and a kid that's trying on every down. I'm not saying he's arrived. I'm not saying he's a good quarterback. But at least the makeup of what they said about him, completely off.
Absolutely. So being on the West Coast, you know, we just get to follow bloggers and we hear that smoke. And then we turn on the game and it's not like that, you know. And then we see the people that they said wanted to be traded come out and say, no, I'm here for the long haul, you know. So it is smoke. And then Rosen, like I said, I think now that we're going to be playing some maybe not horrible teams, but, you know, teams that are kind of down on the 32, that we'll be able to evaluate Rosen a little bit more. And me personally, now this is just my opinion, I don't want Tua. I want to build the trenches first. Let's build the trenches. If Rosen can play this year and he does good, let's give him another shot next year. And then if it doesn't work out, then we go get our quarterback. That's just my opinion. I know a lot of other people are on the fence on that. So, you know.
Well, it's all about the quick fix, baby. We've been suffering for a long time. We haven't had a quarterback since Marino, so people think that we got to get that guy. So I get it, and I understand both philosophies, building the trenches, building the lines before the quarterback, or the people that want to stick with. For me, I think the best scenario is that Rosen kicks ass, and you say, all right, we got our quarterback. Let's go draft a young guy that could be a backup to develop, and let's build with all these high picks. Let's build the offense and defensive lines, and let's load this bitch up. That to me is the perfect scenario. The second best scenario is actually end up getting a college quarterback next year. But really, the best case scenario is that the guy that you have right now balls out to the point that you say, no, we got our guy in Josh Rosen. That would be perfect.
Yeah, I'm rooting for him, man, honestly. I think the silver spoon thing, you know, he could put aside. Maybe that was college years, you know. You read the stories that he had in Cali, but,
Brian, if you had the opportunity to go old school Rodney Dangerfield and put a jacuzzi in your dorm, wouldn't you do it?
I'm from Vegas.
Yeah.
I'm from Vegas. You know a jacuzzi's going up in that room.
Exactly.
Come on.
If I'm in college and I'm the quarterback, you damn right I want a jacuzzi in that thing so I can bring the babes in and hang out in the jacuzzi. People are picking on Josh Rosen for that.
Right?
Yeah, he's a stud for having a jacuzzi in his dorm room, dude. Come on. Only Thornton Mellon can pull that off. It's a beautiful
thing. That's awesome, man. I'm rooting for the guy, man. You know, I hope that if we can get one solid full game with him just throwing the ball around and getting blocked, you know, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'm with you, man, all the way there. Brian Carroll, by the way, joining us from the Las Vegas Dolphin Club. If you're a Dolphin, get your ass out there to Vegas. Join us for the greatest draft party in the history of mankind. And, of course, it's hashtag FinsVegas2020. Let's make that bitch go viral. Let's load up Vegas. Let's own Vegas. And you can meet Brian out there. He's going to be out there with us at Tommy Rocker's all weekend long. Hey, Brian, thanks for joining us, my man. I really appreciate it.
Man, thanks for having me. I cannot wait for the draft, man. NFL coming to Vegas. How awesome is that?
Better yet, the Dolphins one day will come to Vegas to kick the Raiders' ass right in your backyard.
Oh my.
It's a beautiful
God,
thing.
God, I can't wait, man.
It's a beautiful thing.
Have to
it's a beautiful thing. You be good, Brian. Thank you, my man.
All right. Thanks for having me on the show, man.
My pleasure.
And, I can't wait to hang out with you guys draft night. And then Raiders 2020 is going to be a lot of fun, man.
You got it, man. Looking forward to it. Good stuff, right. Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
There you go. Brian Carroll. Thank you, my man, from Las Vegas Dolphin Club. And, hey, if you're a Dolphin, go around Facebook and all that and check out all the different Dolphin clubs and like them, join them, make their clubs even better, all of that. Plus the Las Vegas one, you should join that one, especially if you're going out there with us.
Listen.
And remember, the links are there.
There's absolutely no reason for after going through all of this, the 20 years and what we're doing right now, you deserve to go in April.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
It's going to be therapeutic.
Let me tell you something. For me, it's the greatest moment in Dolphin history the last 20 plus years now. We got to go to the, you know, early 90s and the 80s to talk about better moments. But the last 20 years, this is it right here, Dolphin fans. This is the moment for all of us. Like I've said before, this could be the big bang moment that lifts the franchise back to being respectable again and being a winning franchise again. How awesome is that? And don't you want to be there? And it's Vegas. Vegas is a great time anyway. Imagine Vegas with thousands of Dolphin fans all over Vegas. You could join us at Tommy Rocker's for 3 days of broadcast, feeling good about our team, having a great time. We're going to own Vegas.
We are going to be out there for Monday
night. Yeah,
it'll
be almost a week.
Like 7-8 days like we did L.A.
Yeah, I get it. You've never been to Vegas, so you want to go for 4 weeks. I get it already.
Do it up.
Remember, I'm married. You're not, okay?
Yeah, but you know,
just because I got a really cool wife doesn't mean you can keep me there for 3 weeks, okay?
Speaking of which.
Every day he adds a day to the trip. That's what I want you to know. Every day he's never been to Vegas.
By the time we get to April, it's going to be a month and a half.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, hey, are we leaving to Vegas tomorrow? Because like
the big old show from Las Vegas.
It's like December 2nd. He wants to leave. It's like, wait a minute, man. Let me hang out here a little bit more. No, let's go. Let's get ready for the show.
Hey, I have an idea.
We got months.
I got an idea. Let's hit the road, man.
Yes, we're going to hit the road, and we're going to go see Adelita's Way in Fort Myers. We're going to hit the road right now. We got to thank, let's see, Andy Barron's doing a little fantasy football. We got to thank Rick DeJesus, of course, the lead singer for Adelita's Way. Chris Long, of course, with WinWithSports.com. Brian Carroll, Las Vegas Dolphin Club. Every Friday, we're gonna talk to a different president from a different Dolphin Club around the world to get their point of view on everything Dolphins. By the way, some of those Dolphin clubs in London and Mexico and in Canada, they're coming to Vegas too because they're all reaching out to me. Whether it's Southern California, Northern California, New York, all the different Dolphin clubs, because I'm usually in contact with a lot of them, they're sending me tweets and Facebook posts. We're there in Vegas. And those of you already reaching out to Tommy Rocker's in Vegas, that's really cool. He's already hearing from you guys out there. So anyway, thanks to Bill. Great as always, excellent work by you. Frank Fiore, the Brunetti family, as always, great support for our program every week here on the show. We thank all of you for downloading it whenever you're downloading it. Thank you. Spread the word. Tell the folks about the show. Tell them how to download it. Give them the link. Share the link. Share the love. We're all together on this one. We'll see you on Monday, but I'm sure I'll post some stuff over the weekend. We got the Canes playing
all
tonight.
All W's this weekend. Yeah. All W's.
Yeah, we got the Canes. We got the Panthers and some important stuff. The Dolphins on Sunday. So I'm sure we'll have some podcasts from now till Monday. You guys be good out there. Thank you for your amazing support.